Hi, darling. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's one of those days that I need five of me.
Was going to say, is there a lot happening? What if there were five of you? Would you have to organize them all, or could they just get on with it?
I think they could just get on with it.
Oh, okay,
They
brilliant,
could all
perfect.
read my mind.
Oh, I've got weird images in my head. Right.
Yeah, I do too. And since we don't have five of us to do all the different aspects of our work,
Yeah.
I was just thinking, what do we do? What do we do if there is much to do?
Yeah.
And, considering what all the practical steps would be or actions that we take, like if you can't afford to have a helper or even having someone who helps you out, even then they're, just thinking, oh, even if I had five of me, would there be five times more work?
Well, yeah, someone would have to coordinate it.
Well, let's say they could read your mind,
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or imaginary friends. Yeah.
Our imaginary friends or our imaginary us, if there were five of me, I don't think I need to coordinate. So, sure, that would be an additional
That's
task, but that's not really the question. The question is, even if we multiply, who we are, it multiplies the work, whether it's finding someone to put it all together or not, it's still more work because you're still coordinating for yourself anyway. So then it would come down to the coordination of the work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's one of you or five of you or you have employees or whatever.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious because I'm curious. It's an you asked a question that is putting me in kind of like, am I know, do I know what I'm talking
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because it's your experience, my experience. There is no right and wrong with it, I guess. I mean, I've worked with people where I have to do all of their work for them. And it's like, well, it's no help having them with me. It's quicker to do it on my own.
Yeah, but doesn't that say more about us than it says about the other?
Well, I don't know, but then I've worked with loads of people that are so capable that I can just say one word to them and they get it and they go off and do it. I don't know.
But still, doesn't it say more about us than it says about them? So even if you have someone who's causing more work, you just fire them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've done that. And then that's the thing. You've got to make sure you've got the right people that are aligned with your values or whatever it is, and have the awareness and the right skill set, and then they're gold dust.
And then they're what? Gold dust. Yeah,
Don't let them
or I
go.
mean, but you can go, we can go on and on with the variables, right?
Yeah.
Because we can't assess what someone's variable is. Because there's a variable that is money for each individual. I mean, I'd love to employee, but I probably have to make them more than I actually earn. Right?
Well,
There are some secretaries that are just phenomenal and can do so much work, but they're
yeah.
$50,000 a year. That means that you'd have to make, well, here in Quebec, if I was going to pay someone $50,000, you'd still have to earn $100,000 to pay them $50,000.
Yeah, but then there are options. I have a friend who's a millionaire and he has a personal assistant who is in the Philippines. He pays her, I think he said full time, she works for him about $250 a month. Now, to her, she like her whole family benefit from that. She's getting paid more than the doctors do you know what I mean? And the teachers and everyone else in the area, she's like, she's on an amazing wage and she loves working for him. And it's a job made in heaven, if you like, for both of them. But he could afford to, you know, have people doing work. So, yeah. Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week is great for getting your head around options for outsourcing your life.
Excellent.
Mm.
So, but if we were asking the tarot, it would tell us Tim Ferriss.
No, probably not.
You'd have to know. Yes, you'd have to know Tim Ferriss to be a reader and then recommend it.
Yeah.
But in the tarot, we would likely find what the primary factor within us is. Like, let's say someone is spending a lot of time, let's say we bring up your first example, if someone's spending a lot of time with someone who is not doing the work and then you end up doing the work for them, or they're just not, you know, fulfilling your needs. And whether you can pay them or not, right? You can outsource to India or to, you know, I've outsourced and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, right?
Yeah, back to gold dust people.
So we would look in the tarot as to what our, let's say, difficulty is to overcome within self. Right?
So, yeah, we always have to do that. Well,
right. We can learn a ton of stuff. We can know everything, but it doesn't mean we can apply it. Like, I know that. You know, somebody will say, I know that. I know that. Well, if you know it, then it's the application that's the problem.
Yeah.
So if we decide on a random card, let's say the Three of Wands comes up. And that's communicating to us the outcome of, no, not the outcome. My present position, let's say that was in the present position. No matter what reading you had, it would start to tell us that, you know, our creativity when it comes to distributing our work or having a relationship with our work is looking for our attention. Now, a lot of people might say, well, does that mean we've already got the creativity? Does it already mean we, does it mean I need to access my creativity? Does it mean, you know, how do I know which one it means? Well, your first problem is to know the several definitions of what a Three of Wands means. And then it's the first definition that stands out to you in those definitions. And I've been reading tarot for years. You know, the first question people ask is, well, when I look at my little booklet, there are many, many meanings for that card.
Yeah.
How do I know which one? Well, that's the expertise that begins to arise, not only from picking your second card that draws out the meaning, but also, or the next card or the card preceding it, it really doesn't matter. You know, how many cards you have out there, each of the other cards will influence the meaning of that card. But that can get a little bit analytical and heavy if you don't start with a basic premise of, you know, what stands out. So let's say for discussion's sake, the aspect that sticks out is the one I'm already bringing to the forefront, which is building up my creativity. That's a literal translation of the Three of Wands. I build my creativity. Now, likely my intuition would pick that one rather than building my sexuality or building my anger, you know, or building up on something creative in light of the question. The question is, what do I need to know about work?
Yeah.
Or what do I need to know about organization? You know, any variation on those would likely have a similar result, which would be, oh, you have to build up your creativity. That's what I need to focus on. So I'm not being creative enough. Like even, I'm sure you understand, if I go to outsource in India, not only do I need to be very practical, but I need to be creative in, let's say, how much money do I have to spend? And then I have to be creative in putting together a bunch of questions. And what exactly do I need from this individual?
Yeah.
And then be able to describe it clearly to the individual. So you'd have to create a questionnaire. You'd have to know, you know, that they would describe the answers rather than just yes or no. Like just saying, here's what I need. Do you have this particular skill set? And they just say yes.
Yeah. Well, that's not the evidence?
That's not enough. We'd have to be creative enough to extract the information without necessarily giving all the information. Maybe. And with and also giving enough information. Like, you know, in a, it's not a mystery because I want to do two things. Here's what I need, and this is what I would like you to describe. Like, what does it even mean to you if I say, I need you to do marketing for me?
Yeah.
You know, so what exactly do you know about my field? They might say nothing. So that would refine, you'd have to be creative and, well, am I ready to describe what's going on in the field? Yeah. Or what is your experience in accounting? Let's say it's accounting. That can be a simple question, but it's creating a questionnaire to be able to access the right person. And it's also being creative in, you know, maybe asking around. Is there a way to access, you know, those people who already know what you do or what you're asking for? So you'd scan through all the different profiles to find out. So a simple card like Three of Batons could be indicating those aspects within you that you need to develop. Three of Coins might indicate, well, there, I would say there are two things if it was the Three of Coins. I'm using threes just to remain in on track, but Three of Coins would talk about how much money do you have, and if you have this person, how much money would it generate for you? So if I hire someone for accounting, because the card is about money, so it'd be more about accounting, it would be more about, well, it could also be about social media, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to be on social media, you need an expert to help you edit the videos and do all of that. You know, what value financially would it bring to your business? If it's Three of Swords, well, now my first thought is you're getting too confused in your mind. Like, that just really needs to be cleared up if somebody gets the Three of Swords. There are just too many different topics, too many different things to think about. So your priority wouldn't even be going to hire someone. First, you have to organize your mind in exactly what you are doing and what you're asking for.
Yeah.
And that can be very much a small business owner like you and I. You know, we can have so many different things that we're working with in any given fell swoop that we don't even know what we want to hand out quite yet.
Yeah, you've got to be able to define it. Otherwise, you know, if you can't define what you want someone to do for you, you can't hand it over. Simple. Either they're the expert on it and they know more than you, so you're going to pay them more money to do it for you, to work out how to do it, or for less money because they know less than you, and then you need to define and train them on how to do that thing.
Yeah, but you've jumped, just to stay with the Three of Swords, Okay. You wouldn't be, if somebody got the Three of Swords, they wouldn't even understand what you're saying.
Yeah, true.
Right? Because the Three of Swords already says the brain is in a mishmash. So I wouldn't even bother talking about any of what you mentioned, because you said it's simple, and that's the first, that's the first thing that the Three of Swords would say it's not. Because you're dealing with the mind, you're not dealing with practicalities as you are. Mm. I would say you're more in coins. These are the actual physical steps you need to take that are simple.
Yeah.
But if someone's in the Three of Swords, you could say that over and over again, they'd still be.
They wouldn't hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to. Wouldn't be able to. And it might also be the same, or a similar conclusion with the Three of Cups. Because one is, well, yes, there's a lot within you that is ready to pour out and work out really well. But if that gets too big, your emotions can take over before your before those actions that Eloise just described. That was very helpful, Eloise, by the way, to help, I think, really illustrate the difference between the cards. And also Eloise is super practical when it comes to these things. She has a very strong capacity to sit down and say, this is what I need to do next. But that precludes the understanding that someone who's, you know, highly emotional, which isn't indicated by the Three of Cups, but can be indicated, depending on the other cards, by, okay, there's a lot of passion in all of this, a lot of, you know, abundance in all of this, but are your emotions dominating? We need another card to tell us if emotions are dominating in that case. Right? Mm. So, you know, and also, just for everyone, when you're looking at your cards, your particular proclivity, that was an alliteration, wasn't it? Yeah. Your particular proclivity, people's particular proclivity, perhaps persists in providing a precarious reading or precarious prediction. There we go.
Yeah.
Or peace. And why that would be a precarious prediction or precarious reading is that we're not refining to the exact meaning of the card, but using our own ability as a as a filter, let's say, to what someone can or cannot do, especially with a question like, what is my, you know, what is it that I need to look at if I'm hiring or when I'm hiring? So if Three of Swords comes up, well, I won't be giving this person practical steps. Not quite yet. Eventually there would be exactly what Eloise mentioned as in practical steps, and it's simple. But when they're in Three of Swords, they can't see that as practical. They might even see it as just more stuff that they add to an already confused brain.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really good
one of them.
You know, biggest difficulties in reading is putting our particular beliefs onto the tarot. And we're always looking out for that. And what actually anchors us is the number in the card, the meaning of the element, the combination of the number and the element, the question. So anchoring ourselves to, I need to answer this question directly with this card. And lastly, if we use other cards in the reading or adding a card to be able to support a nice like if you've extracted from a single card, which is very difficult to do, by the way, from a single card, a reading, you might start, but then you want to know, is this going in the positive direction or a negative direction? Making sure you don't start talking about something that is earth-oriented, which is practical, you know exactly what to do. I see in front of me a cabbage growing out of the ground. I am hungry. I pull the cabbage out and I eat it. Right? If our belief systems, like if you're starving in the tundra and your primary focus will be all the mental activity around killing an animal, and you say, I will never kill a living thing, so I'm not going to kill this animal to eat it. Well, you're stuck in a conundrum because you're now going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Now you die. So these are strange things that can stop us. I used a very extreme example, but you know, I thought you can see it every day. It's very, very easy to look at someone else and know exactly what action they need to take. But when the swords or the mind interferes in between where the person is, they're all in their mind and somebody gives a practical action, they'll usually come up with, yeah, but. Immediately. Yeah, but. Or you don't understand.
Yeah.
You don't understand all the things I have to contend with. Right. And usually when someone is caught in swords, those are the words you're going to hear. If somebody is ready to take an action and they don't know what that action is, you get the Three of Coins and you say, you know, I think you're missing some information. It looks like you're ready to take action. Hmm. You're ready to go, but you just don't know what that is. Why don't you read Timothy Ferris? And you might have given them the greatest gift of their lives. And if you're someone who doesn't know exactly what book to refer them to, you know, I do the simplest thing. And I say, you've got the internet. You know, yes. It's not like we used
have
to.
Have you heard of Google?
Well, when I was a kid, you know, you had to go to the library.
Yes.
You had to take classes. You had to, you know, sit and do research and read book after book and figure out how you were going to do particular things. Now we've got people who've worked so hard at figuring things out, done research, applied it themselves, and it's so available to us. It's not like it's millions of miles away. You don't even have to go to a store anymore to buy a book.
Yeah.
You know, you hear Timothy Ferris for a 4-hour work week, you can get right on Amazon and purchase it, or any of your local, we have Indigo here in Canada, so you just, you know, go on to Indigo, order the book, it arrives at your door, and now you're already studying. Then there's versions that are audio. So you could be doing your weekly workout, taking care of your body, and listening to practical ways to deal with your business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
multitasking.
And then someone could still say to what I just said, if they're stuck in swords, yeah, but you don't understand. I don't work out. I have kids. I have this. I have that, right? And it's so interesting because bringing up nature, and I think we'll talk about this a little more in the next podcast, but I'll introduce it. We're so detached from nature and the cycles of nature, right? It's so interesting. Last week or something, a cat, little black cat, he or she is not very big, and caught a pigeon. I'd say the wingspan of the pigeon was almost the size of this little cat.
Yes.
And, you know, I told people this happened, you know, and how many different reactions I got. Oh, no, the poor pigeon. Yeah. Oh, wow, the cat got something yummy to eat. Oh, wow, the cat's bringing a gift to its master, right? Okay. It just on and on the different reactions. And, you know, my only thought is, look at the wild kingdom. I'm not saying anyone's thought is correct or not. It's just interesting to see, yeah, we all have different views. But when we start to be detached from nature, I mean, that's what cats do.
Yeah.
Right? That it's what they do. And usually our minds are, usually not everyone, start to detach from what nature does.
Yeah.
And we separate ourselves from nature. I hear people often saying, you know, if humans would get off the planet, you know, we're the scourge of the planet and so on and so forth. No, we're part of nature.
Yeah, we're part of the planet. Yeah.
You know, if you allow an animal to go unfettered, there is no, what do you call it? There's, the what is it called? There's prey and there is the...
That's really weird.
The hunter.
Yes.
Right? So if there's no animal culling other animals, you can get a proliferation. We can get here in Canada a beaver population that creates flooding. And once that flooding occurs, all of the ecological environment of not only, you know, the water animals or reptiles and fish and insects and plant life, tree life, mammals, they are all disrupted. If there's no animal hunting the beaver.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. And we are part of the population. We create cities, but we also do something wonderful. We make sure there is nature. I mean, you know, again, I love repeating this because, you know, the last statistic I read was that every single person on the planet, if we had stood side by side, fit on Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Right? So here's the population. And we also know that we're very similar to rats. Very close in DNA. And if you feed a rat population, it'll grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. But at some point, the population levels off and starts to decrease.
Yeah.
So we really understand that that's the same that would happen for humans, but there is still so much area. We know there's afforestation. You live in the UK. There's more forest in the UK than there has ever been in history. I mean, you can go look this up for yourself. I find these things fascinating. And when you listen to, you know, the everyday propagandistic media, or, you know, you listen to your average individual that are swayed by this data and don't do any research on their own, then, you know, there's this huge drama, but still separates themselves from nature. Is that we're not part of nature. There's nature going on. How does it influence? Because there are people watching this.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'm getting my data from somewhere. So people are observing these things. We want there to be forests so we can have wood, so we can cut down wood, you know, and have more wood growing later. We want animals in our forests. We want animals to have enough food to eat. We like to look at these things. We want to be part of this. And yet, you know, even if we're someone who goes, no, you can't kill animals, we separate ourselves from nature. It's so paradoxical. So this just carried me off into, you know, what the Three of Swords can do when it's unfettered by some anchoring, by some data, you know, some understanding of what's really going on, being part of nature. You know, knowing we are part of nature, knowing we are animals. We think we aren't sometimes, and I find that so bizarre. We're part of the whole ecological system. And yeah, we do some damaging things, but that does not preclude that other animals don't do damaging things. They do. They do. If they're not killed, they do. Yeah. If they're not eaten by another animal, they do. Mm. Right? So we're eaten by our own cities. We're distraught by our own cities. We're, you know, we have difficulty. We're killed by our own industrialization.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get all upset about it, but maybe I'm not promoting industrialization or anything like that, but it's in the cycle of life and death, those things are going to happen as we evolve or as we, you know, become more and more aware of things. You know, but our lack of awareness could be being caught up in too much mental activity and not applying it to what's going on, but applying it to one particular side of the coin, which is really what the swords can do.
Mm.
And now to bring that back to our daily lives, you know, we can also do the same thing when we're overwhelmed, we have too much to do, we haven't, you know, given ourselves an opportunity to put things in order just in the mind. And self-work, which we do through the tarot. The tarot really supports us seeing, hey, if you're overly emotional, time to get, you know, check your emotions. You might say, well, how do I do that? Well, it's the same as what Eloise said. If you need to know what to do in your business, great reference point is Timothy Ferris. He's getting a lot of plugs here, right?
Yeah, loved him.
You know, you could have him, but when it comes to emotions, well, there's access on the internet to so many different people who can help you. When it comes to your belief systems, there's tons of people who can help you out and help you work through all of that. You know, if you aren't able to, you know, deepen your work through the tarot, at least it's giving you a little, you know, kick in the butt to go, hey, this is what you need to focus on. Do some research. You know, this is a clear indicator that maybe you're hyper-emotional, maybe you've got too many thoughts. Maybe it is you just need a book like Tim Ferriss's book. Maybe you need some money. Maybe you have enough money. Who knows? But whatever it is, you can start to look at it and investigate. Oh, yeah, but when you hear that, it's almost like the end point where someone is not willing yet to look, which is fine too. I mean, there are going to be people who are unwilling to look at their beliefs. There are going to be people unwilling to let go of the melodrama of emotions and beliefs. And, you know, let's say you're the reader, it's not your job to convince them. You're giving them the message and they can do what they will with it. And again, the cycle of nature. Some animals are a bit loco. Some get older. Some, you know, are born and die immediately.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not being heartless either. It's sad. You know, I go through a grieving process, even if I do a reading for someone and they're unable to, even for a moment, hold on to, you know what, I'm going to do that for myself. I feel grief.
Yeah.
I feel grief, but I can go through the grieving process, but it is not our job to convince someone. They must come to it on their own. I actually taught a group class yesterday and I said, you know, what is the biggest reason we're here in this group? You know, and it's so interesting because one of the adverts to taking this particular course is a commitment to yourself. It was as though even some of the teachers in training just turned around. It's like, it's the first time I heard it. Yeah. I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing it for the group. I'm not doing it to find the right answer. I'm not doing it to learn anything. I am doing this for me. And it was a very powerful moment.
Ooh.
So it would be the same when you're giving a tarot reading. This person has come to do this for themselves, and you give the message that the cards are giving, and if they don't take the message to heart, it is, you know, it is sad,
yeah,
of course, and you feel that sadness, you feel some of the grief, but it's, you can't take someone by the scruff of the neck and make them do the very thing that's good for them.
Mm.
We are way more complex than that.
Yeah.
Way more complex.
Yeah.
Oof, that's a huge amount of, you know, area to cover in the tarot. So I think with such a heavy duty work, you can all study that and come yeah. back with your questions. And we will love you and leave you. Eloise, thank you so much. You just really catalyzed some good observations. Again, why do I do this work? I do it for my commitment to myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Nancy, thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.